Proverbs 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, remove thy way far from her, come not nigh the door of her house. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys. Thank you for those that preach and the messages that you gave them. Lord, thank you for every guy that's here. It's a blessing to see each one in your house today. Lord, please give them something from your word. I pray you'd help me. Help me to get this across in a way that's understandable to them, in a way that's pleasing to you, in a way that will help these guys in their lives. And Lord, I pray you would please help us to hear your voice through the preaching. Help us to love you more. And Lord, I ask that you would make us to be more like you as a result. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for these young men. I do love these guys. I want to see them live for you. And Lord, we pray you give us some help in that direction today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, guys. I'm going to start with this because it's already warm in this room. All right. So, guys, we have covered several weeks about purity education. That's what we're dealing with again today out of Proverbs 5. Guys, I keep saying this, but I don't even need to remind you guys, but this temptation, guys, is everywhere. It's in your face. It's pushed. It's just coming at you from every angle. It's attacking you. But you know what, guys? I'm very thankful that the Bible has answers for us. I'm glad that it has enough ammo for us. Kind of hearkening to what you were saying, Anthony. Yes, it's hard. It's difficult. And it's a battle. And like I said, this battle, guys, this battle is not waiting back. This battle is not waiting back and saying, okay, Ethan, whenever you're ready to fight this battle, you just come let me know and I'm ready. Guys, can I tell you, it's already coming up and slapping you in the face. Yep. This battle is coming at you. The devil has brought the battle to us nowadays. And some of us are back on our heels like, what in the world is going on? You're in a battle. You're in a battle. But you know what, guys? I'm glad God gives us plenty of ammo to fight that battle. You say, like what? He gives us truth from his word. So that, Anthony, you can fight those crazy thoughts. So that you can fight all the temptations that, guys, every single one of us is, again, slapped in the face with. I'm not going to get into the stories a couple days ago and working, doing these things. Guys, it's everywhere. It's nasty. And I'm thinking, yeah. Lord, you got to help me. Yeah. You got to help me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm not the only one that feels that battle. You do too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, guys, we need to be pure. God wants us to be pure. Yeah. Not to mess around with a young woman. To be pure, clean, holy, to get married, and then to be devoted to that one woman the rest of your life. That's God's plan, right? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do it? That's what we're dealing with. Purity education. All right. So let me ask a couple questions if you can help me. Hopefully we can get through this real quick. The real story comes out of verses 3 and 4. That's our first point, the real story. What is the real story? Can you briefly summarize what that's talking about? The real story. Ethan.
It starts out sweet and smooth, but it ends bitter and sharp.
Sour, like, yeah. I know you were that. I can see your brain working for that. Yes. Guys, what does the world present to us? It's saying, man, you see this girl not dressed right, boy, this is where it's at. This is where happiness is and joy is, and man, this is everything. But guys, they don't tell you the end part of the story, do they? It's amazing to me, Kevin. They leave that out of the movies. They leave that out of social media. They leave that out of the billboards. They leave that out of the beer commercials. And we think, huh, Aiden, isn't that weird? They only show the appealing side. But guys, what actually happens when you go after it? Verse number 4, her ends bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And it's more bitter than what? She can be more bitter than what? Death. Stunning statement that comes out of Ecclesiastes 7. Guys, death is a very bitter thing to deal with. Kevin and I were talking about it. There was a funeral over the weekend. Guys, that's hard.
Yep.
Probably one of the hardest things to deal with in life. The most bitter thing. But you know what that verse says in Ecclesiastes? A wicked woman is more bitter than death. That means she can hurt you severely. We better take that seriously. Hey, guys, what verse talks about that she's hard to get a read on? Do you guys remember this? She's hard to get a read on. She's kind of changeable. She's here. She's there. She changes how she acts. What verse talks about that in Proverbs 5? Yes, sir. Verse number 6 talks about her ways are movable, right? You see her here, she acts this way. You see her there, she acts that way. You see her in a spiritual environment, she dresses one way, and then you see her somewhere else. Oh my goodness, what happened? Right? Her ways are movable. Can I tell you, avoid somebody like that. That's dangerous. That's the real story. And then, guys, what do we need to do about it? Especially verse 8, what do we need to do about it?
Don't even get close.
Yeah, remove, right? And guys, as I told you last week, I think, the key verse, the key command out of this whole chapter is verse number 8. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. Don't even get close. Get away from it. Hey, young man, if it's, again, something you're watching, get away from it. Something you're clicking on, get away from it. Somebody you're talking to, flirting with, you're texting, and you know they're not right. You know they don't care about God. You know it's not going to lead you in a direction that's anywhere close to God. It's going to lead you farther away. Right. Remove, remove, remove. What does God want me to do? God, tell me what to do. Hmm. Well, let's look at the Bible. Remove thy way far from her. That's what you got to do, guys. Well, come on, Brother Tom. Is it really that big a deal? Well, let's find out. All right, the real story, the removal that's serious. If you don't, let's play out that scenario. I don't need this. I don't need God telling me what to do. I don't need the preacher telling me what to do from the Bible. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, there's a ruin that spreads verses 9 through 11. Hey, guys, it talks about verse 9. If you don't listen to what God says and remove, then your honor will be gone. What is that talking about? You guys remember, your honor will be gone.
Your testimony and everything's out the window.
Testimony out the window. You're not getting up preaching to anybody. You're not really able to help people in certain ways. You can still do limited things for the Lord, but you can't do what you once did. Why? You messed up. You messed up and your testimony's gone. Your honor is gone. Your respectability is gone. So you give your honor unto others. Your years on the cruel. It can shorten your life. The stress can shorten your life. Who did we reference last week as an example of someone that was so stressed out because they fell to this particular sin? You guys remember?
David.
David talked about, man, night and day, it's like I'm going crazy on the inside. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, he kept silence. Like what Anthony was saying, I don't need to tell God. I don't need to confess it. I don't need help. And he tried to avoid getting right. His life was ripped apart for a while until he confessed. Verse number 10 talks about sin is costly. Talks about your money and your labors, which is where you get your money from, go to other people. That could be a prostitute. That could be the husband of the woman. That could be child support. That can go in different areas. And then, guys, verse number 11, very interesting. Your flesh and body can be consumed. There's symptoms that can come. And we talked about that could be STDs, AIDS, and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's very serious. So, guys, as I said a minute ago, you say, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to remove my way far from her. I know what I'm doing. I can handle myself. I am a man. All right, buddy. Do you want to suffer verses 9, 10, and 11, those consequences? I don't think so. I don't think you want to have your testimony out the window. I don't think you want to have your life shortened because of this sin. I don't think you want to have your money going to strangers and payoffs and those kind of things. And guys, you want to be physically weakened and have some disease that's lurking in your body that you have to go to a doctor on a continual basis to get medicine to treat that. And some of these things, they can never get rid of it. Yeah. Never get rid of it. And many times with especially the disease of AIDS, it's deadly. It's deadly. People die from it. And there's no hope to cure it. That's serious stuff. You know, the devil doesn't show you that part, does he?
No.
He leaves that part out. Amazing how he always leaves stuff out. And then, guys, we just barely got into last week, point number 4, and this is where we're going to land today. The regret about the spiritual. All right, this is verses 12 through 14. This is so interesting. I hope God will help us get this across in an understandable way. Verses 12 through 14. Everybody looking at it? All right, let's read this and then break it apart piece by piece, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. What are we talking about? Purity education. The real story is not what the world throws at you. Number 2, you need to remove your way far from her. Number 3, if you don't, there's going to be ruin that spreads. And then here we are, the regret about the spiritual. This is fascinating to me, George, because it's talking about a young man that grows up in church. He listens to the Bible being taught. He listens to the lessons. He listens to the instruction, Chris. He hears what God says. And after he's messed up in this regard, you know what he does? He looks back on it and think, oh, I was so dumb not to listen. He regrets that he didn't receive those lessons, that he didn't apply those truths to his life. And guys, I pray that this is not one of you or several of you in the years to come from this message. Hey, I pray that it's not me. You know, you can preach a message and fall to that same temptation if you're not careful.
Right. Yes.
You know, the man that wrote in the Bible I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. David, he fell to that when he set something wicked before his eye. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, not to give a spoiler alert, but the man we're reading from in Proverbs 5, Solomon, you know what he fell at the end of his life to? Women. Mm-hmm. What? Yes, yes. That tells me that you can preach it. You can know it. You can have it down, and you can communicate it to other people. But if you don't guard it in your own life, you can fall, and I can fall. That's scary. That's scary. That freaks me out. But you know what? That means I need to be on guard this week, and so do you. Yeah. We can't let off. Oh, I've been coming a long time. I've been preaching a lot of messages. God's been blessing. So what? So what? You got a bigger bullseye on you from the devil. For the devil, I should say. It's serious. The regret about the spiritual. What does he say in verse number 12? He said, and say, how have I hated instruction? My heart despised reproof. You know what he's saying? I've been so foolish. I've been so foolish. He regrets it. Guys, it says he says it. Kevin, this means he expresses it. He expresses it. He tells people, man, I wish I never would have quit church. I wish I never would have blown off those lessons that they were given to us. I wish I never would have turned away from God. He expresses it, and the first thing he expresses about his foolish living is that he was furious about the lessons. Notice these words in verse number 12. He says, how have I, what? Hated instruction, and my heart, what?
Despised
reproof. Now, he says the first one, instruction. Instruction basically means I'm just teaching you what's right. I'm just laying out the truth to you, okay? And then reproof, what is reproof? You guys know what reproof is? Correcting somebody. They're getting off track and say, oh, nobody, you need to get back on here. You're wrong in this area. Let me help you. This guy hates when people lay out the truth to him, and he despises when people say, hey, Kevin, you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, maybe you shouldn't be holding hands with that young lady. Maybe you shouldn't be watching those TV shows. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to that music. Guys, I've had guys before sit in this room, and you can tell, you get on a certain subject and they tightened up, they get tense, they get angry, they don't want to hear it. You try to talk to them in private, you try to help them, they don't want to hear it. Hey guys, are you guilty of that? Mm-hmm. They're furious about the lessons, against the lessons. They hate instruction. Their heart despises reproof. I don't need him telling me what to do. I'm not some punk. I'm not some chump. I don't need somebody laying this out for me. What do you think I am? You think I'm going to jack my life up? No, I think we're all weak. I think we're all sinful. I think we're all susceptible. And I think we all have an enemy called the devil that can take us all down. And the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Yeah.
Guys, we've all got to wake up. Hey, I'm not, as I was just stating a minute ago, I'm not above this temptation, and neither are you. You may be a good teenager, but you're susceptible to this. I'm susceptible to this. Listen, we are vulnerable if we don't have the power of God, if we don't have the truths of God in our mind and in our heart ready to fight this battle. We can go down to it. Hey, do you think David planned to mess up? No. Do you think Solomon planned? Man, I'm going to write the whole book of Proverbs. I'm going to be a great king. I'm going to reign over Israel for 40 years. I'm going to teach my son all this wisdom. I'm going to be the wisest man in the Bible. And then, Kevin, at the end of my life, I'm going to blow it all. No. He didn't plan to blow it all. You know what? This temptation came up and got him because he wasn't on guard for the lessons that he had learned. Guys, it's a serious deal. It's a serious deal. Are you furious against the lessons? This guy hated instruction and his heart despised reproof. You know what also pops out to me? It says that his heart despised reproof. Well, that tells me a guy can be sitting in the room. And guys, I'm not trying to, again, cast any of you down and say, I know what you're really all about. You evil inside. I don't. But you know what that does tell me? And this is something we all have to watch for. A guy can be sitting here and look normal and look totally chill with it and accepting of it, but in his heart, he can despise it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can just be sitting here with a normal straight face and all that, but in his heart, I don't want this. I don't want this. Don't tell me about this. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, Tom, you say the music matters, what I listen to. I'm going to go home and listen to what I want to. Now, I'll smile to your face, but as soon as I go home, I'm going to do my own thing. Hey, guys, can I tell you, you're despising the truth of God. You're casting it out as unimportant. And what are you putting in its place? The garbage of the world. You're treating that like treasure. This guy is regretting his chances that he missed. He's regretting about the spiritual. He had foolish living. He's furious against the lessons. Verse number 13, check this out. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. He's saying, I forsook listening. By the way, while I'm in the neighborhood with this. Hey guys, you know why you should listen when somebody's preaching, teaching? It's because of what they're teaching. Because of the book that they open and they're teaching or preaching from. That's why we should listen. That's why we should listen. It should not be that, oh, Brother Tom's preaching this week. I'm not going to listen to a word that man said. Can I tell you that shouldn't matter?
Right.
It shouldn't matter. It honestly shouldn't matter.
Yep.
Oh, Brother Tuss is preaching this week. Come on. I know what he's going to say. Or Brother Zach or Pastor or whoever. Mm-hmm. Guys, the truth is what is the big deal. And by the way, this is not between you and me. It's between you and God.
Right.
And me and God. Directly. We're just the middlemen. Okay? We just deliver the message. But guys, if you just completely cut it off and say, I'm not going to listen because it's him or because it's that person or I don't like what they said. Hey, guys, you're missing the whole point and you're doing it for a very foolish reason. But this guy says, I'm not going to obey the voice of my teachers. I'm not going to incline, which means to listen with my ear to them that instructed me. And guys, he resents them trying to teach to him. He resists it. He doesn't want any part of it. And he's against what they're trying to say. Very sad. You know what pops out to me, though, guys? Let me throw this your way. In verses 12 and 13, you got to look at the verses here in a second, okay? How many times on the end of a word do you have ED? Can you help me with that? How many times on the end of the word do you have an ED in verses 12 and 13?
Five times.
It's okay if you don't get this, but why do you think that might be important?
Past tense.
Good. We're on the right track. Why would that, again, be important?
Because it's showing that he has already done it. Like he's already set up his mind, and that's something he's done in the past.
Yeah. You know what I call it? He had chances. Mm-hmm. He had plenty of chances. Hey, guys, you know what God's given you today? A chance. He's giving you a chance today in this particular area of purity, in this particular area of being clean and holy and right and staying pure till you get married. God's giving you another chance. But you know what? When this guy had the chance, he said, you know, when I had the chance, what I did, I hated instruction. When I had the chance, I despised reproof. When I had the chance, I didn't obey the voice of my teachers. I didn't incline. I didn't listen to them. And when they instructed me, when they were laying it out, Chris, week after week, they were telling me what God says. They were laying out the truth. They were reproving me and saying, hey, this is wrong in your life. When I had those chances, I didn't want any part of it. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, is that you? Mm-hmm. Is that you? Again, guys, we can put on a good face. We can smile to a person's face. But, you know, what do we do with the lessons? Again, not that come from that person, but that come from God's word. What do we do with them? Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, can I tell you? Ethan, there's really not much of a difference if we boil it down of a guy that has a severe reaction against something and I preach it and they're over there and give me all this kind of stuff, Brother Tut, and they walk out, I'm never coming back. And we think, this is terrible, and they leave and never come back. Can I tell you, though, there's not much of a difference between that and a guy that says, thank you, Brother Tut, I appreciate it, and does nothing with it.
Right.
Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if we don't do anything with it, we're doing the exact same thing as that guy. Now, we didn't have the terrible attitude. We didn't display it. We didn't say, man, I hate this. Don't ever talk to me like that again and bust out of here and blow the door open and make a big scene. But you know what? We still didn't obey. Mm-hmm. We still didn't obey. There's a story in the Bible in Matthew, I think it's 21. This guy comes up to him and says, hey, go work in my vineyard. And you know what the one guy says? No, I'll never do it. Oh my goodness, that's shocking. Then you know what it says? After a little while, he felt bad about it. He repented. He went out and worked in the vineyard. And then there's another one. It's this guy's two sons. He goes to the other one and says, hey, go work in my vineyard today. You know what the guy says? I go, sir. Thank you, Father. Love you. You know what the rest of the story is? He didn't go out and do anything. Hey, I'm all for being respectful, and I think you should thank people and be grateful and all that. But what are we doing with it? If we just say, thank you, sir. Great message. It's really going to change my life. What are you going to do with it? Absolutely nothing. Then it's not going to help you.
Right.
Then it's not going to help you. Hey, guys, it's a big deal. This guy had his chances. Can I tell you, you have your chances. You have your opportunity right now. Let's reference real quick Proverbs 29. Go over there at the end of the book, Proverbs 29. Strong verse here. Proverbs 29 and verse number 1. get this, guys. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Hey, guys, that's a powerful verse. He says, he that being often reproved. You know what that tells me? He had a bunch of chances. Mm-hmm. Hey, he came to youth conference. He comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He hears pastor teach. He comes in class every week, and he hears the preaching. He hears the truth. But you know what? He's resistant to it. He doesn't do anything with it. He had plenty of chances. But guys, he turns away from it. It says he hardens his neck. Doesn't mean he has a stiff neck. It means when God's trying to guide him, he says, no, I can handle this. I'll do it myself. What happens to a person like that? They shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. They had plenty of chances, Aiden. They blew them off little by little by little by little by little. And then before long, their life is collapsed on them. How did this happen? Because you didn't take those chances God gave to you. Wow. That's strong, guys. You can go back to chapter 5. Listen, it's serious. This guy is regretting and remorseful over his foolish living. He's saying, how dumb was I? How could I think so off track? How could I be so crazy in my thinking? I've hated instruction. I've despised reproof. I didn't obey the voice of my teachers, and I didn't incline my ear to them that instructed me. Guys, he had his chances. He had his opportunities. But you know what happened? His heart was closed off. His heart was closed off. In verse number 13, when he says this, I have not obeyed the voice of my teacher. You know what he's saying? I didn't live out the lessons. It didn't affect my life one bit. And I've already hammered on that enough today. I don't think I need to elaborate on it. But guys, do we do anything with what we hear? You can hear the greatest preaching in America, but if you don't do anything with it, it's not going to help you.
Right.
He didn't live it out. And then the end of verse number 13, nor incline mine ear to them that instructed me. You know what he's saying? I didn't listen either. I didn't listen either. And by the way, that may be the reason that he didn't live it out, because he didn't listen in the first place. His heart was closed off. Hey guys, the regret about the spiritual. This guy's saying, how foolish was I? Hey, listen, let me just be real about this. Time out. Look up here. You know what it's meaning? These verses 12, 13, 14. It means this. That if you come, you hear the preaching, you hear about purity education, you hear about this, Brother Tut, some guys blow it off, that there's going to be a day, I believe, there's going to be a day in your life when you look back on it and you'll think back to this class, you'll think back to Proverbs 5, you'll think back to Purity Education 101, and you'll think, why didn't I listen? Now I'm paying child support. Now this woman left me. By the way, guys, if she catches you with her immodesty, do you really think her immodesty is going to stop after you get with her? Hello?
Huh.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Hey, guys, there, I shouldn't even reference these names because I'm not sure of them. But these celebrities and all this kind of stuff, they leave somebody, cheat on that person to get with this person.
Yes.
And then this person is shocked when that same person that cheated from somebody else to get to them cheats on them to get to somebody else. And they're like, oh my goodness! It's a pattern of behavior. Mm-hmm. Are you shocked? Are you totally bewildered by this? Do you not understand? Hey guys, I don't know about you. It may have not made sense when you were a little kid, but after a while you keep thinking about it. 2 + 2, it does equal 4. And after you see her cheat on that guy and cheat on that guy and cheat on that guy and cheat on that guy, guess what? When she cheats again, I think, yeah, obviously that's what she's gonna do. But we think, no, if she's with me, she's going to stop all that. Stop giving yourself so much credit. The regret about the spiritual. Guys, this guy is regretting it. Will that be the case 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now? I pray it doesn't happen. But you know what determines it? Your choices. Your choices. Because you know what? I'm trying to give you the truth. I'm trying to give you what God says. But you can blow it off 3 years from now. Well, you know. How many stories have we heard, Brother Tut? Well, you know, yeah, me and my baby mama, you know what that's code for? Not my wife. My baby mama, yeah, you know, now we got a little one on the way, and man, things are hard, things are rough. And you know what I've heard? Yeah, and I've heard from even recent experience people saying, well, yeah, now I think she's seeing somebody else on the side. Well, you got her being a scoundrel in the first place. Are you really surprised when she does that to you? I'm not trying to be calloused with people or hard-hearted and not have sympathy for them.
Right.
But guys, listen. If you go to the dumpster to get food, are you really surprised when it makes you sick after you eat it? I mean, come on. I'm not smarter than anybody. I'm not. I can mess up to this, and so can you. But guys, when you play in that arena, are you really surprised when that's what happens? We've got to be smarter than this. It's not okay. You go after a girl that has no relationship with God, could care less, is taking you away from God, not closer to God. And then when you need God to answer your prayers, when your life is falling apart, you're thinking, Lord, why does she keep making these bad decisions? It's because you made a bad decision to get with her in the first place.
Right.
And by the way, guys, again, I don't want to just throw stones and say, man, there's a lot of bad girls out there. Listen, you know the best way that you can get the right girl? By you being the right kind of guy.
Yes.
You can't be some bum and then, as Ethan was talking about, we need some men to step up, right? You can't be some bum and then, God better give me a good one. Well, you better be a good one to get a good one.
Right.
All right? The regret about the spiritual. He's furious against the lessons. His heart despised it. He hated it. He didn't listen to the voice of his teachers. He didn't obey them when they told him what the Bible said. And guys, check this out. This is, wow, amazing. Verse number 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Now, guys, I've read that before and I'm thinking, what? What does that have to do with anything? I think this is what it's talking about, guys. I call it the flipped logic. What did he just say about his teachers and all? He hated their lessons. He despised it. He didn't listen to them. He didn't live out what they said, right? That's what he's saying. And then in verse number 14, he says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. He's talking about church. That is talking about church. Back then it would be the temple and all that. We get that. The tabernacle and the temple, meeting with God. But guys, he's saying, I felt like I was in the midst of all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. What is that talking about? Can I tell you what I'm confident that it means, guys? Brother Tut, when he came to church, he felt like he was in the midst of enemies. He felt like everybody was against him. He felt like everybody wanted him to go down. You know what he's realizing, though? He was so stupid to think that. These people weren't against him. Hey, guys, as I was just talking about, if I'm preaching against something and you get all mad at me, man, Brother Tom hates me. No. I'm not doing that because I hate you. I'm doing that because I love you.
Right. Yep.
If I'm telling you this is wrong, this music is wrong, you say, man, he's picking on me. No, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
It's totally opposite. But this guy, you know, he's saying, man, I came in church and man, I felt so miserable. The preaching, man. Man, I hate this. All these people are against me. They hate me. We don't hate you. We love you. Mm-hmm. We love you. That's why we're telling you the truth, because we care about you. He's saying that's how I felt, but it was wrong. Hey, guys, we need to base our life off of truth, not feelings.
Yes.
Not feelings, on truth. This guy's saying he had flipped logic. You know what he's saying? I had a backwards mindset. I was thinking wrong. Hey, guys, when you come to church and we're preaching hot and heavy against something, listen, again, it's not because we hate you. It's because we love you. It's not because we're trying to hurt you. It's because we're trying to help you. It's not because we are trying to ruin your life. We're trying to keep the devil from ruining your life.
Right.
Guys, we've got to learn this now. Can I tell you, a lot of people leave church because that's their attitude.
Yep.
Man, they're just against me. They're talking about me. I know of a situation right now, guys. People don't come to church. A whole family doesn't come to church. And you know what they say? Man, all those people starting rumors about me. They're all talking about me behind my back. If anybody's talking about them behind their back, you know what they're doing? They're praying to God that God gets a hold of that family. Hey, guys, but you know what? You know what I think it is? They listen to the devil.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if there's some weak spot in your life, the devil's going to prick that. He's going to exploit that. He's going to do anything he can to use that to keep you away from God. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If he can take that, and guys, if I told you the whole story, you would pull your hair out thinking, that is so dumb. How could you let that happen? How could people believe that stuff? Can I tell you, when you're away from God, the devil has you twisted around his little finger.
Yep.
And he's got your brain all out of whack and warped. And guys, you know what? Listen, I love Chris. I tried to come by your house yesterday, Chris, to make sure you'd come to church. It was a blessing when that door opened and Chris is here. I'm thankful for that. But you know what? Guys, the devil can use things, little things. And listen, we need to be careful and ask God to guide us and guard us. But some of these things are unavoidable because we're humans. We're not perfect. We're going to mess up. But you know what, guys? Listen, The point is, you need to be devoted to God yourself. Mm-hmm. You know why you need to be faithful to church? Because you need to be faithful to God.
Yeah.
But you know what happens? A little comment. Something we don't even think about. I don't know. I'm making it up as I go. But Chris, I say something small to you, and I don't even realize that it hurts your feelings. I don't even realize it. I wasn't even aware of it. But you know what the devil does? Man, that's what they think about you. They don't care about you. Mm-hmm. They hate you. They're trying to hurt you. Why don't you go have fun with your friends on Sunday instead of coming to church? And you know what the devil's doing? He's wrapping you around his little finger. He's getting your brain all bent out of proportion, Jaden, and you start thinking, man, maybe them people are against me. And can I tell you, the devil's good at what he does. He's gonna stir up. And it's, if you were to find out the whole story, there's nothing to it whatsoever. But you know, he'll just take these little things here and there. And by the way, guys, let's not fall for these little excuses not to come to church or not to read our Bible or not to do what we're supposed to do. Because you know what? It happens all the time and I'm sick of it. The devil is pulling people like a lure in a fish's mouth, and he's just got them on his line, and he just keeps running the same plays to mess people up. What did this guy think? He thought, man, all them people in church are against me. Mm-hmm. That's what verse 14 is saying. They weren't against him. What were they trying to do, Ethan? They were trying to teach him. They were trying to instruct him. They were trying to correct him. But he thought, man, I feel like I'm in the midst of all evil. It's like everybody's out to get me. It's like everybody's lurking. As soon as they see me walking the door, Brother Tut, everybody's looking at me and they smile. I know they don't mean it. They're really against me. They want me to fall. Guys, that's crazy. That's crazy thinking. But you know what? When you're away from God, you're thinking crazy.
Yeah.
You know why it is, guys? People have this backwards mindset because of the fed lies. The devil's in control of it. And he's trying to... Listen, here's what I'm saying. When you start listening to the devil's suggestions and hints in your life, George, you're going to start thinking really crazy. And you're going to go way off track.
Right.
And you know, you're going to say, well, I don't go to that church because pastor didn't shake my hand. Are you kidding me? Somebody sat in my seat. Maybe they're a visitor. Maybe they don't even know you sat there. And by the way, if they do sit in your seat and they know it, is it that big a deal? You know, we're allowing the devil to get us out of church. That's the bigger objective here. He's saying, listen, what can I use to get them out of church? Well, maybe Brother Tom won't be nice to that guy and he'll forget to shake his hand or say, how you doing?
Man, I'm not going back to that church.
Guys, let's be committed to Jesus. Let's be committed to Jesus for ourselves because of the fed lies. You remember who is the father of lies, right? The devil. Let me give you one reference. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You can go there if you want. Chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. I'll just reference this quick and we'll keep... I'll have to shut it down here in a second. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, 25, 26. I'm going to hurry up. Get there when you get there. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Hey guys, you know what that's talking about? Exactly what we're dealing with. Brother Tut, we're trying to be meek and gentle with people. We're instructing those that oppose themselves. Hey guys, those people that say, I'm not going to that church because they're just starting rumors about me and spreading lies about me and all this stuff, there's no basis for that whatsoever. You know what they're doing? They're opposing themselves. They're hurting their own selves. You know what they're doing? They're listening to the lies of the devil and letting him control their decisions instead of the truth. Hey guys, again, you know why we should be in church? Because we love Jesus. You know why we should be in church? Because he commanded us to, Hebrews 10:25. And yes, people should be nice to you and all of that. But Brother Todd, I don't come to church because of people. I come to church because I love Jesus. He died for me. This is the least I can do for him. Guys, that's why, and those things don't change based on how I feel or how people treat me. The truth doesn't change. But the devil is the father of lies, and he is going to get those people to oppose themselves and say, we're not going to that church. I'll never go to that church. Well, you know who gets hurt? The mom, the dad, the kids. They don't hear the truth about Jesus. They don't hear the Bible stories. They don't hear how they should live. Why? Because they're listening to the devil's lies. Hey, guys. Is it going to be a day that you sin against God in this area and you're going to look back on this lesson today? Man, it was hot in that room. I remember that. I remember he was preaching from Proverbs 5, purity education. That seems like that's all he preaches recently. But, you know, I remember that lesson that he was giving us, but you didn't listen to it and you regret it. You hated instruction. You despised reproof. You didn't obey the voice of your teachers or inclined your ear to them that instructed me. And you were thought you were in the midst of all evil. Every time I go there, I feel like everybody's against me. Hmm. We're not against you. We're for you. Yep. We want to help you. And you know how you get help? By taking the truth from the Bible and using it in your life today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this week. That's how you do it. That's how you do it, guys. Listen, purity education is the real story. It's the removal that's serious. It's the ruin that spreads. And guys, it's the regret about the spiritual. Hey guys, when God's trying to teach you spiritual lessons from his book, don't turn them off. Don't harden your heart to it. You've had, guys, this guy had his chances, right? All those EDs at the end of the word, you remember five? He had his chances. He blew it off. He didn't need it. And he messed his life up. Hey guys, you have a chance today. To hear, to learn, and to live out what God is teaching us from his word. How to stay pure. I wonder if you're going to listen to it and apply it, or if you're going to blow it off, say, I don't need this. And then you'll look back on it with regret. That's your purity education.